My name's Jim Smith.
My name's George Pitt.
And you're listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights Podcast, brought to you in conjunction with Podomatic,
iTunes,
and WCRFM.com.
For more information on Jim and George, go to facebook.com/JimandGeorge.show.
Percent local radio made in Wolverhampton. This is WCR-FM.
There you go, 101.8 WCR-FM, the voice of Wolverhampton. My name's Jim Smith.
And my name's Georgie Pitt.
See, we're a bit slow off the mark there. That's normally much tighter than that.
I think we're a bit...
Normally you can't get a fag packet between us, we're so
you know
tight.
The problem is? We're a bit relaxed, we're a bit subdued after having such a relaxing break.
I'm starving.
That's a good thing, though. It's a good thing to be hungry.
Yeah,
it's a good thing to be hungry on the radio because you have to fight for it. Whereas, you know, we've done shows in the past where we've had a good munch up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, got a story.
Well, we've done shows in the past. We're clearly drunk. Apparent to even the most casual listener that we've had a good drink before coming in. We haven't, actually. That's a massive lie. I can't believe you said it.
Of course it's a lie.
I went away. And I like to holiday in England. I've been doing a lot of holidaying in England. And I went to the West Country, to Somerset, for a week. That's where I've been. And because how the days fell and everything, we missed two shows rather than just the one, which is unfortunate. But there you go. And I went to the West Country, and a lot of Welsh people around sort of Bristol and the West Country and Somerset and West and Breen, you know. And it is gorgeous around there, and that's why you see so many people down there. You know, you get down to Breen, it is like Wolverhampton on sea. You just run into people you haven't seen for ages. Bank Holiday Monday, the world goes to Breen. It's like an exodus. Everybody goes, right? And I was having a drink, because we stopped for a week, right? And I was having a drink in this farmhouse where they sold... And it was literally farmhouse cider.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, they had a big sign on the door, and you knocked on the door. Farmhouse, award-winning farmhouse cider. You knocked on the door. And of course, I think it's a pub. And they open the door, and it's somebody's house. And there's like eight fellas in there. Lovely. I mean, really nice experience. You know, the very definition of what a public house should be, I would imagine. And, you know, you knock on this door, big sign outside written in, like, dodgy marker, spelled badly, cider, and then you go, and you knock on the door, and, and you sort of think, well, when I went in, my initial thought was, does everybody know everyone? Or is it just me that is a stranger here? Stick in the path, young'un, you know. Does everybody know everyone? So anyway, I sit down and we start talking. And as it turned out through the evening, because what I'm going to tell you about, I'm going to tell you a story, but it was basically I want you to sort of think about my mental state and appreciate what I was going through. I sit there and you feel a bit off balance. And does everyone know everyone? Am I doing things right?
Was it like that scene from American Werewolf in London, where they go into the tavern and everything just goes silent?
Stick in the path, young man.
That's the line, isn't it?
That's what's basically on my mind.
Yeah.
And potentially it could have been like that. But everyone was really, really friendly. But when I first got in there, I'm a bit on my guard. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, so I sit there. Now, look, if you don't know me and know what I look like, I'm a big guy and sort of shoulder-length hair, ridiculously long hair for a man approaching his 40s, right?
Well, Facebook friends will know exactly what you look like.
There you go. I'm on Facebook, and so people will know a lot. But if I were to sit down, the thing you would identify about me first is I probably really like music. So this guy is a Welsh guy, and everybody in there is Welsh, right? Which is ridiculous, but they're all holiday makers. But of course, they don't know this, and everybody's Welsh, and they're all sort of big burly fellas like myself, you know, working class guys, and everyone's drinking farmhouse scrumpy cider, which is foul. I mean, it is undrinkably foul. But of course, you're in the situation where you can't go, oh, my, have you got anything else? What do you think of that, son? Do you mind if I go, you know, the company's great. Can I go to the off license and bring something back?
It's like having a pint, which it just looks like flat. It looks like apple juice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There is an alternative. What does apple juice look like?
Wee.
It's like having a pint of wee.
It looks like wee.
That can't be right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't taste
much different. Not that I've ever drank any, but it doesn't taste much. It tastes like a sample.
You've never tasted
it,
were?
Right, no. Well, so let's
each
not
to their own.
Let's not go on. let's not go charging down that particular cul-de-sac.
Well, there was a story that I did want to tell you. Can we talk about that later?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, all right, carry on then.
So, anyway, I'm sat in mixed company and I want to ingratiate myself to these people, right? And I want to fit in. But I'm the only English fella in there. Everybody's Welsh. Get a lot of Welsh people in the West Country. They come down for their holidays in the caravans and that, right? And this fella says to me, now I know, right, I've been to Wales before, and the first thing you know, if you've been to Wales and you're a sort of, you know, a man of drinking age, and you've ever been in any boozers and spoke to any strangers, right? Which is something, my favourite thing to do is go to a boozer in a strange place and talk to strangers. It is my favourite thing in the world to do, right? But if anybody who's done any of that will tell you, in Wales, they love the stereophonics.
You will never
understand the hero worship. Forget like the Beatles in Liverpool. Forget that level of hero worship.
I thought it was Tom Jones.
They like Tom Jones. But you know the younger fellas like our generation, they like Tom Jones. Of course they like Tom Jones. But they love the stereophonics. Now, I really like the stereophonics.
Well, hell of a rock and roll band.
So this guy says, I sit down and talk to this guy, and he's identified by looking at me that I'm into music, right? And I want to be his friend, and I want to ingratiate myself to him. So he says to me, and honestly, this one, so what music do you like? Right? Honestly, and this is what he says. Super Furry Animals are stereophonics. Right? As if, right, there's two bands.
That's it.
In the world. There are two bands in the world you either like. Super Furry Animals or Stereophonics, right? Now, the fact is, the answer to that question for me is Stereophonics, sir, you know, but the answer really probably is Pearl Jam or Paul Weller or something like that, right? Okay, but I really like Stereophonics, they're great. So, in that instant that he said that, in the absolute moment that he said that, my brain said, right, no, ingratiate yourself to him, find your way into the tribe, show him your knowledge, name other bands from Wales. In that moment, in that fraction of a second, my brain wanted to name other places from Wales. Bear in mind, I'd been drinking all day as well. You know what I mean? So, like, brain was, you know, he had great ideas the way he always does, but very often my brain has very good ideas, just can't execute. Just it really lacks the technical know-how to execute, right? So I think, yeah, that's a good idea. All this happens in the flash, like, in like a camera flash moment, right? Yeah, that's a good idea. So I said, actually, if I was honest with you, I quite like the Manic Street Preachers.
Oh, Welsh band.
I'm in there, aren't I? Right?
Struggling to think of one then.
And then I decide I'm going to go one better. And all I can think of, right, is that band that girl was in that I really liked that did Mulder and Scully. Now, sitting here sober,
I know the band.
The girl is Kerris Matthews. Yeah. The band is
Catatonia.
There you go. So it all goes together well. But my mind is... I'm scrambling through the dusty, disorganised warehouse of my mind trying to find the name of this band and the girl that was in it because I know she was Welsh. I'm sure she was Welsh. And I want to ingratiate myself to this fella, right? So what was the name? And then I took a stab at it and I went... And I couldn't remember the name of the band, but I remembered the girl's name. I thought, took a stab at it, panicked a little bit, and I said, and I really like that band that girl was in, Kerry Katona. Right? Honestly, this happens exactly how it happened.
Well,
right?
She was in Atomic Kitten.
And as soon as I said it, I no! And if I could have reached out and sucked the words back in, I said, Kerry Katona, I really like that band that girl was in, Kerry Katona. Right? And then the fella says, what? Sugar Babes. And then, again, my mind in a camera flash went, no. Show him how broad you are. Yeah. And apart from anything else, what am I thinking? Yeah. They're like, oh, yes, I'm aware of your culture. I've travelled far and wide up the M54 to Pembrokeshire. I have mixed with your people. I have spoken to the Welsh before. What am I trying to accomplish? But, you know, you have these silly games, don't you? So in that moment, I thought, no, you know, show him how experienced you can be. And I went, actually, I think you'll find that's Atomic Kitten. And if the room couldn't have got any quieter. And everybody's looked at me. I've said, I'm really into Manic Street Preachers. And I'm a massive fan of Atomic Kitten.
The thing is, though, do you ever think, you know, it's not as if you're drinking pubs around, you know, the West Midlands, you know, Wolverhampton, and like, you're bumping into someone from Wales or Scotland or wherever. Do you ever, you know, come across a Welshman or a Scottishman or somebody, you know, like from Newcastle, Geordie, going, oh, I really dig that ocean colour scene, and I'm really into it. They're like, it's something that, you know, that the English people seem as if they have to do. They go somewhere and prove that they know a bit about their culture. Or, you know, I don't see other people making the same effort, if you get where I'm coming from.
You didn't go. I mean, yeah. The answer to your question, yes, couldn't agree with you more. Isn't that odd? You never get anybody come to Birmingham and say how much they enjoy UB40.
Yeah.
But there's a reason for that, because UB40 are cack.
Oh, they are rubbish.
But, that very rarely happens. But then, do you know what? I couldn't, you know, what are you going to... Who is it? Babylon Zoo? You know, who's... Beverly Knight, you know, Beverly Knight got some really hardcore blokey fans.
We've got the enemy from Coventry.
I tell you what, sort of, you didn't go the way with that I thought you'd go. I tell you what, I've found, and I've sort of, you know, like to think that I'm not really well travelled, but I'm of an age where I've worked all over the country and been to many places around the country and everything, drinking and whatever, for nights out and watching bands and whatever. And, I tell you what is absolutely true. People are far more friendly elsewhere.
Yeah.
You go to Wales for a drink, people do talk to you. You know, they do. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's because they're on holiday and people feel differently. But, you know, people from... I'm in the West Country the weekend. Anybody you can identify as being round here, and then by that I mean they've got a Wolves shirt on or a Villa shirt on or, a, you know, a local football team shirt on, wouldn't bother to say good morning to you.
True.
Well, yeah. But like other people, you know, you just walk up to them in a bar, start talking to them. You do that around here, people think you're weird.
What I've found is drinking.
And that is true. And I know I'm painting with a broad brush there. Yeah. But if you walk into a pub in Wolverhampton, walk up to the bar. I mean, old fellas are different because they will just talk to you. But fellas in their late 20s and 30s start talking to them. They look at you like you've gone mad.
Well, yeah, I mean, my experiences of drinking in pubs around the West Midlands and Birmingham and Wolverhampton is what you've just illustrated. You will go into a pub, and I've said something offhand to someone, you know, like just making conversation. Or I'll get, yeah, mate, it's your turn to get served, and they'll give you a funny look.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to do you a favour here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're out and about in the town and you hold a door open for a lady and she looks at you like you're a weirdo.
Yeah.
I'm just holding the door open for you, love. But what I've found is when you go abroad and you bump into, say, for instance, when I was in Egypt, you'll meet people, you know, you'll meet up people from Birmingham or you'll meet people from Newcastle or Liverpool or whatever. You kind of band together.
Yeah.
You kind of, you know, especially, oh, you're from Birmingham. Well, where are you from? Well, I'm from so-and-so. Well, I'm from down the road in All Green.
Yeah.
Really? What pubs do you use? Oh, do you know so-and-so? Do you know? So all of a sudden, it's so interesting that you've met somebody. But if you was to bump into that person in your local pub or just having a walk around the town, you're like, who are you? Well, I don't talk to you.
No,
who
listen,
are you?
We've been talking for ages and ages. Because you know why that is, listener? Because we haven't seen each other for a while. We've just got loads to say to one another.
Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. WCRFM.
Join me, Matt Sacco, as I kick off your weekend with Sacco on Saturday. Mixing the best songs from the best bands and artists with all the community sports news from around Wolverhampton. 10 till 12 Saturday morning. That's Sacco on Saturday with me, Matt Sacco. Saturdays 10 till 12 on 101.8 WCR FM, the voice of Wolverhampton.
How does he expect to get away with a trail like that? The foul mouthed little monkey, cherub type thing that he is. How does he expect to get away with that?
Never stops being funny. Never stops. I listen to that every day.
God.
I get up in the morning, I listen to that. And it sets me up for the day. And the pastry lovely says, it's not still funny. Never stopped being funny. You know, Adrian Edmondson, who was Vivian in The Young Ones in Bottom and everything. Okay, so I heard him being interviewed, Mosley Folk Festival, and he's in this band, and I don't know any details or anything about it. I'm ever so sorry, but basically he's in this band. And the thing that this band do is they take punk classics, sort of like Undertones and Pistol stuff, and then they sort of transcribe it into a real folk setting.
Yeah.
Which sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, right?
No, it can be done.
Well, it can be. And do you know what? No, it can be done. It's brilliant. And I really should have, if I had anything about me, I'd have some to play you. But I have nothing.
What's that track that we play?
It's the AC/DC one.
That's it. Okay, doing the cover of...
They do the AC/DC cover. Okay, there you go. So it's a very similar sort of thing to that. So I thought, oh, that's really, really good. do you know what? I'll do it, right? Because I've been looking, no, because I've stopped playing guitar a long time ago, and you can't really play bass on your own, because, like, you know, the worst guitar player gets to be the bass player.
Of course you can play bass
that.
On your own.
No, you can't. You can't play bass on your own. Listen, it gets very, very boring very, very quick, right? You can't play bass on your own. It's rubbish. The only reason I was ever in a band was because I owned a bass guitar and I owned a van.
Everyone needs a van
driver. If you want to be in a band, get yourself a van. You'll get work, right? So that's how I wheedled my way into musicianship. So I decided I wanted to learn another musical instrument, right? So I really wanted to learn stand-up bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, the full-length stand-up bass. But then bad boys are about $2,000 each, right? So that ain't happening because I'm only playing. And then I thought, well, I'll get a mandolin, right? And I'll learn how to play mandolin. That'll be really, really good. Mandolin's got 8 strings. It's a bit tricky to tune. So I thought, well, that's not really for me either.
Well, so is a mandolin a type of guitar?
Yeah, you know, yeah, like...
It's the proper hillbilly-sounding thing.
Well, that's more sort of banjo. But, yeah. It's in that family of... you know, R.E.M. used to make good use of the mandolin. Very folky-sounding guitar. However, so that was out the window for other reasons. However, bought myself a ukulele.
Right.
In the week, right. And as with everything I tell you, I swear it's true. Bought myself a ukulele. I don't know if you're aware that you can actually buy a ukulele now in the Flying V formation.
Yeah.
You can own a Flying V ukulele. So I bought myself a ukulele. My idea being was that I would get sort of Guns N' Roses classic hits, right, and transcribe them in the ukulele style, in the sort of George Formby, Frank Skinner style. And, you know, that I would record them, and wouldn't that be incredibly funny? I've had 2 initial problems straight out of the trap. The ukulele tunes entirely different to a guitar, so it's completely different to play, right? And it's a bit small in there as well. It's a small... I mean, I have hands like shovels, right? If there is a God, he has a sense of humour, because he granted me the heart that wants to entertain and provide and give and create, and the hands of a navvy, right? I've got a creative muscle in them. So I'm having to start all again. Learning all my chords again from scratch, and I'm too old to be doing that. But yeah, I'm making progress. I'm moving along. I'm learning to play the ukulele. I might bring it in for you.
Yeah,
I'm hoping.
Yeah, do a track live on air.
The thing is with the ukulele, it's perfect travelling companion. It's about this big.
Well, if you bring a ukulele,
about that, listeners, it's about that big.
About that big. If you bring a ukulele, I'll bring my kazoo.
Too big to go in your pocket. You could bring your kazoo. Yeah. I'll bring my ukulele.
Yeah, who else could be roping? We'll get someone in on tambourine. We'll get Matt Sacco of a wobble board.
Matt Sacco will spoil it.
Do you think?
Yeah.
It'd just be too good.
Be monkeying around and, yeah, taking it all too seriously and trying to organise us.
Wearing his sunglasses, yeah. wanting to do sound checks.
Demanding money up front. Again. Give us something from your side of the desk.
All right, I got this from the Yahoo News. Smoking ban murder. A restaurant owner in southwest Turkey was shot dead after he tried to prevent his customers from smoking to comply with a new law on the use of tobacco indoors.
And they've yet to catch me. You'll never take me alive, copper.
A fight broke out after Hider Karayati, 46, ordered a group of customers...
Where was this in the world?
Istanbul, Turkey.
Oh, okay.
I've been to Turkey 4 times. Nice country.
Okay.
Anyway,
that's one of them countries where everybody smokes, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah,
baby smoking.
Smoking is so widespread. Yeah. I mean, you will see children in the street, like 6, 7, 8 years old, with cigarettes, and it's because they're so cheap. They're like 20p for a pack of 20. You know, it is ridiculous, isn't it? But that's the whole idea: get them while they're young, rope them in. One of the customers shot Karayati 4 times after he took away the group's cigarettes, said witnesses.
Yeah,
Hamu Havatukar, Karayat and his business partner, was also shot and wounded. Turkey's government on July the 19th introduced a nationwide ban on indoor smoking, including bars and restaurants, despite the fact that half of Turkish people aged between the ages of 15 and 49 smoke, one of the highest rates in the world. I'm deeply saddened that the first smoking ban murder occurred in our town.
I'd wear it like a badge of honour.
This is a statement from the mayor. I'm deeply saddened that the first smoking ban murder occurred in our town, Sanwani Mayor Velu Yaltsin told Harriet newspaper, they either shouldn't have outlawed smoking or they should have outlawed alcohol along with smoking. Now, can you imagine if they outlawed...
They should have either not banned smoking or provided us with bulletproof jackets.
The thing is, can you imagine, like, they've banned smoking and they've had a spate of murders in Turkey. So you can imagine if they've banned alcohol as well, you're talking nuclear war. You know, the country's going to go into meltdown. Half of the population smoke.
Half?
That's massive.
Half the population smoke?
Yeah.
50% of every man, woman and child smoke.
That's what he says here.
It's a lot of smoking, that
it's
is.
It's a lot of smoking.
3 months I've been without a cigarette now.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, it's all right. I don't only miss it sort of 20 times a day.
Really?
Ish, yeah.
Do you know, I always find it's when you've had a nice meal... I miss having a cigarette afterwards.
Oh, can we not go into
Or obviously
it?
A beer, a nice cold
beer. Oh,
you're
just tormenting me now.
Sunday dinner, Sunday roast. It's nice to stand outside and have a long, you know, big long inhale on a cigarette and blow it out slowly. You miss that, do you?
Yeah.
But you can't do what I do, though.
Yeah.
Because I can actually smoke, like, 3 or 4 cigarettes a day.
I
can do that.
I hate
Whereas
that.
You've got to be... You're all or nothing.
You smoke sort of occasionally, don't you?
Do you think that's because I've got strong willpower and you
no,
haven't?
I hate that. I can't be. If you're, you know... But then, you see, don't describe yourself as a smoker. You don't do 20 a day. You're not smoking. You're not trying unless you do 20 a day.
I know people that do 3 a day. I watched Smokey and the Bandit the other week. It was a Saturday afternoon, and it was on ITV1.
Yeah.
And my God, what a classic. He never ceases to entertain.
One idea in that film. Let's have a car chase.
Let's have a car chase, and let's have some cracking good old boy characters.
Yeah.
And a lot of un-PC jokes.
Favourite line in that?
Brilliant. Oh, I'm going to go home. No way. There's no way you came.
I've said it before.
And I'll say it again. There's no way that you came from my loins. I'm going to go home and punch your mama in the mouth.
Can you imagine? Couldn't put that in the film now.
Sheriff Buford T. Justice, the cop in it, who's after the bandit.
Jackie Gleason, by the way.
Yeah.
It was a massive star in America.
Yeah.
But Jackie Gleason was like... Bob Monkhouse.
Serious?
Game show host. Jackie Gleason. Do you know what? There's a book about Jackie Gleason, and I read half of it and sort of gave up, and I don't know why, because I really liked it. But Jackie Gleason was like, yeah, apart from being in films and being like a game show host, an American personality, was also like a mad avant-garde artiste.
No.
Honest to God,
serious?
Yeah. He was so multi-directional, Jackie Gleason, but was prepared to ridicule himself, which I always think is the best thing. Prepared to ridicule himself by going on that film and just being like a stupid old, good old boy Texan.
He was brilliant in it. I mean, he steals the show for me. I mean, Burt Reynolds is good in it, you know, and he's charming as the bandit and all the rest of it. But Buford T. Justice, played by Jackie Gleason, he's just amazing. The guy is just brilliant. Comedy gold. What have you got?
But Daddy, if I put my bullets in my gun, it gets too heavy.
I like the bit where he's charging off after the bandit at the end, and his retarded son says, but daddy, who's going to hold your hat? Just leaves him standing on the side of the road.
Where did I find this now? Okay, this was in the Telegraph this week, and it's a story of political correctness
gone mad!
And that's what we like. This is in the Telegraph this week. Scouts... to no longer bring pen knives on camping trips. New advice published in Scouting, the official in-house magazine, says neither scouts nor their parents should bring pen knives to camp except in specific situations. Scouts have traditionally been taught how to use knives correctly, using them on camping trips to cut firewood, carve tools and protect themselves from paedophiles. At one point... scouts were allowed to carry a sheath knife on their belt as part of their uniform, although this is no longer the case. In recent years, the Scouts Association guidance has been that parents should carry the knives to camp or meetings. Dave Budd, a knife maker who runs courses training scouts about the safe use of blades, wrote that the growing problem of knife crime meant action had to be taken. So there you go. And as soon as people start beating themselves to death with toggles, they'll ban that.
did you ever frequent the Scouts?
Yeah, I did.
In your younger days?
I did, but it just didn't suit me.
Nah, no good.
Yeah, I as hard as I try, I'm just not very good at that sort of
thing. You see, I tried the Boys Brigade, which was the flip side of the coin. It was the other organisation.
See, I've always thought... go on, yeah.
And I tried the Boys Brigade, and that didn't really work out. So I tried the Cubs, and the Cubs is the one you go to before the Scouts. The Scouts is, like, the next one up. And I think it's an element of... I think some kids and some people enjoy being part of that gang mentality and being told what to do.
Yeah.
And follow the rules. And if we do this, then we get a special badge that we can put on our sleeve. And a bit like working at McDonald's, I suppose. But I never really liked it. I never really liked being told what to do.
What's it got to do with working at McDonald's?
You know, like, if you clean the floor extra, you know, if you do a really good job of mopping the floor, then you get a special star. And if you serve 1,000 Big Macs, you know, this week, we'll give you another star and you can work your way up and you get a nice pointy little hat.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, you know, that whole...
How do you know?
That
you
whole
know
gang
that?
Mentality. It's like being part of an army.
They say to you at McDonald's, if you sell 1,000 Big Macs, we'll give you a star.
Yeah, I suppose they do.
How do you know this?
Maybe I was a bit...
Is it just not true?
Maybe I was a bit... You know, I'm just, you know, I'm having a bit
Nobody
of fun
minds
with the
if
facts.
You're lying,
I'm having,
like,
no,
you know,
but you know what I mean? I never tell. I've just got a shaky grasp on reality.
Okay.
I mean, I see it as like some sort of elitist.
Right, so it's going to move you back to your previous statement.
No.
Is being in the Scouts anything like working at McDonald's?
No, believe me, I'm not criticising McDonald's workers because I see it as some sort of elitist military group working for McDonald's. And if you have a look at the uniforms and the stars, it's all very military orientated. But what I tried to say was referring back to the Scouts. It was never really for me. I just, like, you know, like being told what to do and being shouted at, and, you know, like, you got to do this to win that, you got to do this to get this thing or this seal of honour and that. Very much similar to being in the army. Just, you know, go your own way.
Troops leader, however, have said the decision is very sad. Sheila Bergin from 4th Seven Oaks Scout Group in Kent said, "Scouts by law are allowed to carry a Swiss Army knife. I think this is going too far. You just don't know when a scout will need a knife." As I said, you know, you just there's a lot of paedophiles out there.
So if you was a if you was a scout,
it's also suggested that the leader. See, this bears out what you're saying, George.
Yeah.
It also suggests that the leader keeps control of the knives when they go camping. But I think that this is completely wrong. The first scout law is the scout is to be trusted. Scouts, and this is what it says, scouts love having knives and using them properly. There is nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with enjoying a knife. You know, in the right circumstances. If you're in the middle of a forest and you've got a knife, then you're going to be chopping plants or carving things into the side of trees. You know, like kids do. As long as you don't wind up stabbing each other with it, then, you know, what harm can be done?
Scouting helps to prepare young people with valuable life skills while keeping them safe by not carrying knives. Meanwhile, a school has been banned giving out goldfish as prizes at its fates after it was criticised by animal welfare societies. John Porteous, the head teacher of Turton School in Bromley Cross near Bolton, Greater Manchester, has pledged that he will not hand out goldfish's prizes after coming under fire from the Captive Animals Protection Society and the RSPCA. That's a whole separate issue there.
Yeah. Should put that in the file marked... Political correctness gone mad.
No, put that one in the file marked "It's a nanny state, I tells ya." Right, what do you want, George? I've got acoustic shotgun, urban shotgun, or urban logo.
I don't even know what that is.
Go and just pick one.
Is that some sort of musical movement? No. I'll have acoustic shotgun.
Acoustic shotgun, here we go. over to you.
Oh, that's what it is. Acoustic Shotgun with Jim and George.
I'm curious now. You want to know what the other ones sound like, do you?
Go on then.
No, what's that tell
you? I want another one.
No, you have to pick another one for the
I
next
hour. I want another one.
Play another one in the next hour.
All right, and here's a story for you from the Metro. Gamers are fat, depressed geeks. Computer game addicts are more likely to be fat.
Rather a broad brush you're painting with there, George.
I'm only reading what it says in the paper.
We have surveyed all gamers and found them all to be fat, depressed geeks.
I'm only reading what it says in print.
It's rather a broad brush. Even for you, who's not afraid of the sweeping generalisation, that's rather a broad brush.
shall I carry on?
You're painting with an open bucket thrown up against the wall.
Are we in legal territory?
You're painting that like that's being painted in the way that people on community service paint little old ladies' houses. You know, you hear that so often, don't you? Oh, we've got all these people in prison. Why aren't they going to paint little old ladies' houses? Have you ever seen a house painted by people on community service? Oh my God, that's why.
It's a sloppy job.
Oh dear me. Everyone's in a brand new Viz vest and making a mess.
The thing is, would you want your grandmother's house being painted by people on community service?
No.
On probation orders? Would you want them doing that? Because while they're there, they're probably casing the joint.
Yeah, they've seen
the state of these windows around the back. They've got hardly any locks on them. Oh, the wood's rotting away a bit. Oh, this will be an easy number. The glass can be taken out. You know.
Come on, we're approaching the news at an alarming rate of knots.
All right, then. There we go. Gamers are fat, depressed geeks. Computer game addicts are more likely to be fat, depressive geeks who rely on the internet for friends, it seems. There are links between videos. It just sounds like I'm insulting people. If you was just tuning in now, you'd hear me saying, computer game addicts are more likely to be fat, depressive geeks. Anyway, there are links between video game playing and health risks, US research shows. And the average gamer age is 35. Teams from Emory and Andrews...
Average gamer age is 35?
Yeah. Well, I suppose if you work out...
less than that.
Well, I suppose if you work it out from late teens to, say, early 40s or late 40s, probably averages out about right.
Okay.
I know more and more people, you know, of an older age are really into the computer games now. I mean, years ago, it literally was just teenagers, but now it's not uncommon to get people in the late 20s and, you know, late 30s...
Who being, are fat and depressed
being,
geeks.
..being heavily into computer games. Teams from Emory and Andrews Universities found female players are more likely to be depressed than female non-players, while male gamers tend to be fatter than male non-gamers.
Girls don't really play video games, do they?
I find girls are heavily into social networking, you know, like Facebook and Twitter and that, but they're not really gamers, are they? I mean, a lot of women are into those Wii Fit things.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole interactive aspect of it and losing weight.
Yeah.
But, like, men, I mean, like you'd say men, you know, were your proper gamers into all those war games and strategy games and all the rest of it. Friday Night Rock.
Trev French. Trev French.
She just say Trev French.
She said Trev French.
Trev French.
That sounds like a whole lot of Trev French.
100% Trev French.
That's more Trev French than any station can handle.
Only a fool would take on more Trev French than that.
Springsteen to Sabbath, Metallica to Marillion.
From Trev to French.
Join me Friday nights for 3 hours of classic rock between 9 and midnight on 101.8 WCR FM.
Pudding renamed from the BBC News website so you know it's true. Second story from Wales. The traditional suet pudding... George, I'll tell you what, I know where this one's going before I even
where
start.
Where are we going?
The traditional suet pudding, Spotted Dick, has been renamed Spotted Richard at a council canteen because customers... keep making jokes.
Well, that's the whole idea.
It's the new name for the dessert, with another alternative, Sultana Sponge, has appeared on the menu in the Flintshire Council headquarters in Mould. The council said catering staff made the decision after Sorry, typo. Immature, sour-faced, wizened old catering staff with no sense of humour whatsoever made the decision after immature comments were made. And it was not a policy decision, but one council described the move as political correctness
gone mad! So now these people...
You know, we say it so often, but how rare to actually see it in print. Political correctness gone mad! Staff from the nearby court complex in Mould also used the council canteen. Spotted Dick is a steamed... Oh, we know what Spotted Dick is.
What is it?
Steamed suet pudding containing dried fruit.
Really?
And it's thought to have originated in the middle of the 19th century. So thorough, the bee.
Really?
The spotted part of the name refers to the currants, which resemble spots, and the dick is believed to derive from the word dough.
No, it's just because it's phallic-shaped, isn't it? Surely.
Perhaps that came later. Perhaps it wasn't shaped like that. You know.
It was.
The council spokesman said the correct title for the dish is Spotted Dick. However, because of several immature comments from customers. Oh, you don't get customers going in there being friendly and trying to have a laugh, do you? That's not the kind of punter you want in your place, is it? People coming in here being jovial and friendly and trying to get along with us? I think not. And if that means I've got to change the name of a pudding that has stood for 200 years... so people can't come in here and try and be my friend. That's just the way it's going to have to be. But Flintshire councillor Klaus Armstrong Brown. And I swear
Klaus Armstrong Brown. Oh, that sounds very German.
Criticised the ban on the original pudding name. He said... he had made an official complaint about the name change, which he called ludicrous.
Good on you, sir.
And said had cost money because a new label was needed for the food. This is like a pedantic off.
Yeah.
This is like a petty off. See who can be the most petty and the most pedantic. See who can be the most small-minded and the most completely without humour.
Well, the thing is...
Don't come to war with me. You've no idea how pedantic I'm prepared to be. You've no idea how small my... You've no idea how little life I have going on and can just spend so much of my time... paying so much attention to every little detail. You've no idea how unhappy I am. Don't go to war with me. The council said the bosses who had made the decision would soon be frightened of their own shadow. People make silly comments about everything in life and there's no need to change the name over it. There you go. Spotted Dick, now referred to as Spotted Richard. It is a case of
political correctness gone mad!
Let's have your thoughts on that, George.
I think it's ridiculous. Absolutely. Well, it is what it is. Political correctness gone mad. I often find, you know, it's people in these big organisations, you know, like councils, for example, or like people in the BBC. You know, like people who sometimes have to justify their jobs.
Yes.
So they justify, and I've worked in several different, you know, I've worked for several different companies and in retail outfits and all kinds of different places. And I've found sometimes the more higher up a person is, they have to justify their job, and so they look for fault. I mean, they really go out of their way to look for fault. Tiny little, you know, little things that they can change. And, oh, well, I've brought up this rule. And look, this can be found offensive. Nobody's ever found it offensive, but it can be found offensive. So what we'll do is we'll have a new rule against that, and we'll have health and safety. Health and safety is another one. You know, just looking for things to moan and have a go at. Well, there's nothing. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. And then there's somebody will bring in a law and somebody else go, oh, no, that's not foolproof. I've thought of a way round it.
Yeah.
What about if, and then just some mad scenario. Well, that could be offensive. Go and find somebody who thinks it's offensive. Not me. Not me, you understand. But there are people who would find that offensive. And, of course, then it finishes up in the paper.
True. Are you going to put that in the file?
George, take that I'm trying. Do you know what? I'm sitting here racking my brains trying to think of other names for puddings that would be funny.
What?
The best I can do for you is jam tart. You know, and then you just insert your own punchline.
Well, Greg's. I'm going a bit old school. It wasn't Greg's. Do you remember it was Bragg's before Greg's? the pastry outlet.
Was that before it was Three Cooks?
No, Three Cooks are still going.
Oh, I could be Three Cooks and Greg's and Baker's Oven are all
no,
the same
no,
firm.
It's not Three Cooks. Three Cooks have gone. It's Firkins that have still got a few outlets.
Firkins, right.
Firkins still going. But now,
Bragg's... But how have they not... Do you know, Firkins, I've never understood why they've not used that name to their full effect.
Yeah.
You know, French Connection used the FC UK thing to absolute full effect. Yeah. Why don't Firkins do a bag of Firkin donuts?
Yeah.
A nice Firkin pasty.
Or Firkin great food.
There you go. Yeah, why don't they do just Firkin everything? Because that would be really funny, right? But, you know, wouldn't you like some Firkin free food?
It's
right?
True.
Look, I ain't in marketing, but if I had a company called Firkin, I'd do, there'd be loads
and
of
it
that.
Is, and it is advertising gold. I mean, you could picture the commercial in your head. Now, you'd have somebody like Peter Kay going into the shop. And going, here, give us one of them Firkin baguettes, will you, love? You know, and getting away with it because it is the name of the shop.
I'm Firkin starving.
It is, it's comedy gold.
I'm not just starving, I'm Firkin starving. I had a Firkin steak bake. It's that funny. Why don't they do that, Firkin? Sorry, go on, say what you were saying.
Anyway, so I was going back to Bragg's before it changes to Greg's. When you used to go into Bragg's, it was a Boston tart, which has now been changed to a Boston Bakewell. I don't
that's,
get it.
That's a shame, isn't it?
What's wrong with tart? It's like tart. Tart has been wiped off the agenda now, off the menu.
Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse.
WCRFM. You could sell a very similar deal to Drucker's.
Yeah, you know, I think we've found it.
Why don't these coffee people realise that almost swearing's really very funny?
Do you know, I think if we find ourselves off the airwaves, which, you know, becomes increasingly more likely with every show we do...
As every week goes past.
Then I think,
expecting the doors to burst open and just to be dragged away.
We have got a future in marketing.
Played Oasis there, George, and there you go. And there'll be no new songs from Oasis. It's all over for Oasis. They are no more. I think the band's finally realised they're not nearly as good as they were.
No,
and, there you go. So all over the papers, all over the press.
I've got it.
You're a big fan.
A massive
I'll
fan.
I'll let you talk about it.
A massive fan. I've got Liam Gallagher's autograph in the house, and he's spelt my name wrong.
How'd you spell George wrong?
I swear to God, he's spelt it with an A. But he's dyslexic. It's true that he's Liam Gallagher's dyslexic.
With an A?
Yeah, he's put an A in there. I wonder if that makes it any more valuable that he spelt my name wrong.
Certainly not to you. Anybody called Garog would be absolutely thrilled with it, I should think.
G-Rog.
Anyway, if you could find a person with money to spend who enjoyed Oasis and was called Garog, you would be in the pounds, shillings and pence there, sir.
You know what? I wonder if it makes it less of a valuable autograph, the fact that it's got my name on it. If it had just said, all the best, Liam Gallagher, then it makes it appealable to any Oasis fan. Then the fact that it says to Garog, you know, Liam G, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think a lot of artists now will only sign stuff to you or to... And then a name.
Oh, it's a clever,
because a lot of people, there's a lot of professional autograph hunters now.
That's true.
And I've got to say, I have seen this done. I've seen people with guitars and they just say, would you sign that for me? And I'm very much in two minds. Like, if you were famous enough that you could reach over with a pen, write your name on a guitar and provide that person with the day's wages.
Yeah.
Just by that small action, just by signing the guitar. Mm. Then why wouldn't you?
Hmm.
But having said that, it's a bit mercenary, isn't it? But I've seen people turning up to signings and things. And I don't know if you remember. Do you remember when Ocean Colour Scene, you went to meet Ocean Colour Scene to get them to sign some albums?
That's true, yeah.
And they said, we will only sign the new CD. We won't sign the old CD. We won't sign any books or any memorabilia.
True.
We will just sign the new CD.
And
I don't know how I feel about that, actually. I don't know if that's right or wrong. It's up to them to do that what they want, but...
I thought that was, I don't know, I kind of thought that wasn't in the spirit of trying to make your fans happy. I mean, Yeah, if somebody was to rock up here, you know, at the WCR studios with a Jim and George poster and say, "Could you sign this, please?" Or could you sign this old Jim and George bootleg CD that I've got? But yeah, no problem, sign anything, you know. But would you sign
10?
For a fan?
Yeah.
I don't.
Would you sign it, safe in the knowledge? Yeah. And I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. Like I say, I'm pretty much on the shelf here. I don't know how I feel about it. But on the shelf, on the fence, idiot. I'm on the shelf. Not that idiot when he goes, "Well, I bet you didn't see that, did you?" That David came out of the Big Brother house, and he's just like some lovely big northern guy. And Davina said to him, "So, you know, you went into the house late. Did you have any presupposed opinions on the people who are already in the house?" And he said, "Well, no, Davina, I went in there with an open book." Now, of course, what he meant was he went in there with an open mind. That's fine. Yeah. You know, people stumble over things all the time, as I come in here every week and prove. But the thing is, he said it three times more.
Seriously?
Like,
the answer to any question.
No. Like I said before earlier, at the end of the day, I went in there with an open book. Well, I don't care, because at the end of the day, I went in there with an open book. It became annoying after a bit. But yeah, sorry, getting back to this business with the autographs. I am very much on the fence. I don't really know how I feel about it.
But you know what? I think I've...
Ringo Starr got very involved in falling out with people about this, didn't he?
Seriously?
Yeah, they remember that when he did that video on his website saying that with peace and love, he would throw everything away that came through the post. Yeah. So I suppose, how many times can you sign your name?
But the thing is, I don't think he had to do that necessarily. I think, you know, the fans are never going to know if you've read the mail or not. The fans aren't going to know. So we could have just disposed of it. He didn't have to put such... a confrontational message out there saying, "Oh, we'll just throw it in the bin." At the end of the day, these people are your friends and your fans, you know, and they respect and like what you do.
I think he was frustrated because I think, and again, I'm reading between the lines from what I saw at the time, I think Ringo had tried to play the game and had tried to sign stuff for people. And
it was just getting too much.
And I think it had just driven him mad,
But I think a lot of it's management, you know. I think it's managerial decisions. Because when I went to see... When I queued up to see Ocean Colour Scene at HMV to get a copy of their last album... what's it called now? On the Ley Line? Yeah, yes. It was On the Ley Line. I think... they realise that they're there at HMV promoting the new album. It's a business. They want to sell a lot of copies of their new album.
Sure.
So if everybody just queued up there, you know, with old albums and didn't have the new one and thought, "Well, I want to get Mosley Shoals, the second album signed, and I want to get Marching Already, the third album signed. I've got this really cool old magazine I want signed." All of a sudden, you're just hanging around to sign, you know, sign bits and pieces for people without really promoting your new album, without selling any copies of your new album, and that's what it's all about. So that's why they said that, you know, to meet Ocean Colour Scene and to get their signature, you need to have a copy of the new album.
Yeah, but they were refusing to sign anything else. I don't know what you're saying, and you think you're probably right, but I just don't know how I feel about it. I think this idea that they will only sign things now with your name on, if you meet somebody famous, and I know this is one or two of them doing it, they'll only sign it to George, so you can't later sell it on eBay. But, like, you know, what if you are selling it on eBay? What if you are making a business out of it? What if you go and take the time and trouble to queue up somewhere or to hijack somebody in a car park and get them to sign something? I mean, you know, signed guitars get really good money.
Well, the fact is...
If that's how you get your living, is that any more or less valid than being in any trade? Plumber, builder, electrician. You know, that's how you spend your time, knowing that somebody's going to be in a certain place and that you can get them to sign a guitar and then, or whatever. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong. I mean, just say, for instance, you know, if people are making money off Ringo Starr's, you know, autographs, or people are making money off Liam Gallagher's, or any celebrity you want to name, if people are selling your autograph either privately or on the internet, they're only adding to your celebrity. They're only making you a bigger name, a household name, by selling your autographs. Is that necessarily a bad thing?
And I suppose the other thing to be considered, say you're a celebrity and you will only sign stuff with that has a name on it, a signature. You only give a signature as long as it has the participant's name on it as well, so they can't sell it on eBay. I mean, what are you saying? Are you saying that the way this person gets a living is not valid, in my opinion? That person would be better getting a living as a plumber, as a builder, as a roofer. You know, ultimately, your living is not completely valid, especially if people stop taking an interest in you. So I think you've made a very valid point there, George. WCRFM. Listen, I never got from you Oasis splitting up.
Oh, yeah, Oasis
because
splitting
when
up.
Because when I heard, because you were a massive fan.
I was a massive fan. I've been a fan since...
When I heard that they'd split up, I was on holiday, and I very nearly called you. I very, very nearly called you just to sort of... I'm always
see if I was coping.
Well, I'm always reminded. Do you remember when Take That split up?
And the helplines.
And it was always sort of like when Take That split up, I had a very similar range of emotion as I did every time Henman got knocked out of Wimbledon.
Yeah.
In that I thought it was funny. Sorry, laughing at other people's misfortune, Shag and Fraud being what it is and all of that. Sorry, when Take That broke up, I thought it was quite funny. There you go. But and they said that the Samaritans was overwhelmed with kids phoning up and saying that there was contemplating
emotional
suicide because of Take That. And I thought, because Take That splits up, I'm going to kill myself. And I always thought to myself, if you would contemplate killing yourself because Take That aren't going to make any more records, you really should consider it because you're eminently qualified. You're making no contribution to the world at all. And you really... I'd been the other end of that phone number, I would have said, apparently, doing your wrists in a hot bath is the way to go. Apparently, you just sit there and gently the life drains out of you. Don't do the pills. It just makes you sick.
Well, you know what you just hit on there?
Yeah.
It was around about 1996 when Take That split up.
Yeah.
And there was a few teenage suicides. There actually was. There was a few.
Don't
I remember
feel
reading
good
the
now
paper.
About belittling
No. There actually was. It was fact. There was a few girls I read about in the tabloids that actually killed themselves. Okay. Now they made their comeback in 2006. You know, how would you feel?
Girls? Was it a resurrection?
No. How would you feel? No, Take That made their comeback in 2006, 10 years later. You know, like the big comeback. It always seems to be around about the 10-year mark that bands make the big comeback after splitting up.
When they realise there's no solo career here.
They get
to the point where swallowing that big lump of pie, when taking a big slice of humble pie and going back to work on EastEnders, don't seem that big a deal.
Which you not always hate about these bands getting back together? When they all go off and try their own solo projects and it fails miserably, there's always one member of the band that does really well, i.e. Robbie Williams. The others just failed disastrously at anything they did. So when they get back together, it's not the honesty. You know, it's not like, oh, well, he was working in McDonald's and I've been writing a few songs and he's been DJing around Ibiza, so we need the money. No, it's, oh, yeah, we missed the brothership. And it's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's about the fans and the songs and the good old times. No, it's not. It's about the money, just be honest.
As we covered earlier, it's always about the money. I always thought, and there you go, this will give too much of myself away. I thought Mark Owen's contribution, his solo stuff, was quite good.
I liked his first album.
And I liked the stuff that Robbie Williams did with Guy Chambers.
Up until
the first couple of albums.
Fourth album. He went it alone on the fifth and I think the sixth and just failed drastically. But he's back with Guy now.
Come on, let's cut draw to some conclusion.
Yeah, so what I was saying about Take That was... No, what I was saying about back to Take That. Now, if your daughter had committed suicide in 1996 because Take That were to never record again, that is it. That's the end of Take That. You are never going to hear those four voices on record ever again. And in the back, 10 years later, hang about. My poor old girl's done herself in because you said you'd split up. Now you're telling me that her gesture of love, that she killed herself in the name of Take That, was just a waste of time, which is pretty much what it is. You got a good legal case on your hands. Anyway, about Oasis. Well, Oasis haven't got the same fan base, have they?
It's just Oasis, too dark and too
Oasis,
heavy.
Oasis haven't got you know, a silly teenage Hannah Montana type fan base. Have they? Oasis fans are blokes, primarily, or, you know, grown-up women that are into rock and roll.
Again, painting with the broadest of brushes.
No, well, you can't, you know, you can't...
Never want to shy away from the sweeping statements.
Waving it about.
It's just men and lesbians that like Oasis.
Men and lesbians and people with Adidas trainers.
Tell the truth, because I like Take That. Pardon me. I don't like Take That. They're
I
okay.
like Take That.
Nah, yeah, the recent stuff's okay, and, you know, Pray was good. Yeah. But, you know, the early stuff, the rolling around in the Blancs and Jelly.
With the PVC.
Yeah, it's a little bit gay for me. Yeah. Right, okay, but what I meant to say was, and what I tripped over... so terribly, and I've tried to style out of, you know, I'm trying to style it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I liked Oasis.
I love Oasis.
Right. But I sort of hope that Noel Gallagher goes on to be a huge success. And that Liam should never sell another single so long as his stupid, aching body should live.
You see, Liam and Noel Gallagher divide people pretty much the same way as, say, for instance, Jennifer Aniston and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
You know that whole thing, Camp Jolie, Camp Aniston, when she first split up with Brad Pitt.
Okay.
You know, or, for instance, rival football teams.
Yeah.
Aston Villa, Birmingham City. That's how Liam and Noel divide people. And I'm on the Liam side. Because Noel Gallagher is a great big-headed Paul McCartney wannabe. You know, I write all the songs and I produce this and
really
I do
does.
That. And I play every instrument myself. Or don't be in a band then. Go and be solo, because he's just going to turn into the next Paul Weller. You know, Paul Weller later on in his career. Not Paul Weller when he was good, but Paul Weller now that he's boring. Because I don't know if you listen to any Oasis album, the most boring songs on the album are always Noel's. The ballads, boring old ballads with a humdum riff. Now, what Liam does is he adds a bit of excitement to the band. He's got that rock and roll voice. He's got that distinctive voice that you won't find anywhere else. So I hope Liam goes on and nails it to the wall and does really well.
OK, that's it, I'm afraid. That's all we've got time for today on the Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. You've been listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights podcast, and we sincerely hope you enjoyed it. And you must have done, because if you can hear my voice now, that means you've listened to every last second. So why don't you do us a favour, do yourselves a favour, hit that subscribe button and hit it right now. We'd like to thank everybody at Streetside for providing us with the music, along with the marvellous Mr. Rick Dougal. But as you well know, if you listened to the show before, there's only time left to say. His name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson. My name was Jim Smith.
My name was Georgie Pitt.
George, your battle with the guards was quite extraordinary, and I was going to ask you to join us.
Hail to the king, baby. Hail to the king.
Screwface, he give me a death a thousand times worse than you.
The whole darn thing was brought to you in conjunction with our very good friends over at Big Kahuna Burger,
Podomatic,
and WCRFM.com.
Go that way, you short-sighted scrap pile. You'll be malfunctioning within a day.
So until next time, people, you stay classy.